A reading from John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
David and I made a mistake, a couple of them, with our little rosebud tree. A few years ago, we decided to replant the gardens around our home. And our biggest investment was a dwarf rosebud tree next to the front entrance. It's not supposed to get more than 8 feet tall. And it's got these fluttering heart-shaped leaves and the perfect sweet pink buds that come out in the spring. But in the last few years, we've discovered we still planted it too close to the foundation of the building. It's not able to thrive if its roots are cramped up against the concrete there, not given room to grow. Also, the tree had all these misshapen leaves throughout the whole of this last season. We recently got the results of a test back, and it appears that mites had infested the tree. These little mites are smaller than aphids, very difficult to see, but they'd sucked out all the sap between the stem and the leaf, leaving the leaves cupped and unable to bend open or to take in the light. Our sweet tree was a pitiful shadow of what it could have been, judging from the advertised pictures, at least, when we bought it. But all is not lost, we were told. We recently had a landscape architect over to the house, and she told us what we'd be able to do. Come spring, she tells us, transplant it out farther away from the house. When you do, trim back the part of the roots that were up against the concrete, which stimulates them so they grow back more vigorously and fill in the root ball there. Put stakes up to hold it in place, hold it upright. Water carefully and regularly after transplanting, and it will soon put out new roots from which to grow into a robust, healthy tree. We're grateful for this landscape architect. Otherwise, we would have pulled that tree out and just gotten rid of it. We'd likely have thrown it away. It makes a difference learning from someone who's experienced in the care of plants and trees. The same goes for the one who cares for souls, right? Jesus uses agricultural imagery in the reading here, but make no mistake that he's talking about people and souls. Our passage in John 15 comes during the farewell discourse of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Judas has already left the disciples upstairs, and Jesus teaches those who remain what they'll need after he's gone. He calls them to abide in me as I abide in you. As a vine and its branches are connected for good. The word abide here is meno in Greek. It's a fertile word in John's gospel with associations like to stay, to remain, to take root, meno, abide. To abide with Jesus is to stay connected no matter what. Imagine the sap of a tree or a vine, all unified through the root or the trunk or the branches or the stems or the leaves, unified by the sap which courses all throughout it. Now imagine one part of the tree, the trunk maybe, girdled with a knife, cutting off the flow, stripped of its bark so that the unbroken link of sap is broken. You know what happens next, right? The tree will die. The trees die quickly when that happens. Energy from the leaves cannot reach the root, and water from the root cannot reach the leaves or anywhere further up the trunk. The same happens with people, Jesus says, when we fail to abide in him. Human beings are kept spiritually alive as we stay refreshed and abiding in Christ. The sap of this vine that unites all the parts, Jesus says, is his love. That's what holds together this vine and all its many branches. Abiding in this love takes on character and form according to the commandments of Jesus, especially the one he gives tonight. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Could there be a better message for Ash Wednesday? Or a better way to extend the depth and the meaning of Valentine's Day, love? This is not chalky candy hearts with their shallow, generic platitudes. This is the self-giving, other-directed, personal, and joyful love shown by the best kind of mother or father or church member or friend or partner. Love one another as Jesus loves us, he says. As Jesus pours himself into the world and God into him, all of us bound together by this mutually enhanced, ineffable, undying love. As I have loved you, love one another. Sign me up for that love, right? If all of Epiphany in the church was an invitation to come and see what this Jesus is up to, now we marvel at the extent of his love. All other loves excelling and surpassing. No greater love than that of Jesus, love that shelters and gives hope to those who are lost. As we're going to see in the weeks ahead, no greater love than to nurture in body and spirit those who hunger and thirst. No greater love than to meet shame and judgment with mercy, with forgiveness. No greater love than to unbind the dead and let them go free. No greater love than to show up where you're doomed, still announcing liberation. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love than this. This is what it means to abide in his love. To be suffused in the sap and the life of this vine. We will be called back again and again to his life and to his love, taking on the awesome invitation to ourselves love one another in the same ways. This isn't done for its own sake. Not just to keep the vine and the branches satisfied and happy, nourished within themselves. No, Christ has something greater in mind. The purpose of that vine, the calling of every branch, the goal of the entire whole is to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. This vine starts with Jesus. And the first disciples are branches off of him. But Jesus is at the beginning of a millennia-long pyramid scheme. And we're part of it. Bearing fruit. Fruit that will last. That's the point of all vines, after all, isn't it? To yield juicy, luscious, abundant fruit. We remain in Christ. And Christ remains in God. And Christ in us. All so that we will continue together to bear the fruits of his undying life into the world. That's the point of all this. It begins here, though. On this night of dust and ashes, where we recognize our mortality, limitations, and failings. Here where we consider those parts in ourselves which may keep us from bearing the best fruit. Where we open ourselves to the spiritual pruning, trimming that might be needed. Letting ourselves be reshaped, remade, and reconnected to the vine. It begins here also. At the communion table, with these symbols of good growth and rich fruit, these signs of the continuous spirit that is alive in us and far beyond us, flowing in and through the whole. Here, here, and here, we are steeped in the love that knows nothing greater, the love that begins with us tonight and continues throughout Lent. So Javen and I now have a plan for that rosebud tree by the front door. Come spring, as soon as the frost ends, we'll dig around it carefully, pull it out from where it's been misplanted. In a new hole, we'll tend its roots and plant it carefully there, as we've been advised. Watch regularly to make sure it's growing well, and spend a little time with it each day, we're told, turning the leaves over and looking underneath for those pesky mites and treating them if needed. With patient, steady care, that tree will blossom again and will better grow into the fullness that is possible for one of God's creations. The same is true of us in Lent. This is our invitation to do the same in our spiritual lives, having no greater love than abiding in God through Jesus. Let us do what's needed in our lives, in the days and weeks ahead, to abide in the vine who is our source and the gift of life itself, beginning tonight.